That's the music of composer Julius Eastman, who died homeless in Buffalo, New York in 1990 at the age of 49. But his music is being resurrected today because his music was wonderful and challenging, political and above all minimalist, phrases and sounds repeating over and over. And he was black and gay and wrote about both with song titles that, a warning, may offend. One was called Nigger Faggot. John Adams included Julius Eastman's works in concerts. The New Yorker writes that Eastman is the kind of American genius not enough people know about. Well, Tiana Nakia McLaughlin is trying to change that. She's curator of the new exhibition and festival, Julius Eastman, That Which Is Fundamental. It's at The Kitchen, a gallery and performance space in New York. Tiana, welcome.
Thank you.
So where do you begin with Julius Eastman? Start. Who was he?
Julius was a product of a family that had a piano in the house.
Yeah.
And, an older brother to a younger brother who later in his life went on into a jazz background. But Julius, you know, he learned to play piano by ear around like 3.
Mm.
And then from there was given an opportunity to have a personal teacher.
And this was in upstate New York, Ithaca, New York. But then he moved on to the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm imagining not a lot of black composers in classical music at that time?
No, and definitely not a lot of black students at Curtis Music Institute, which because of Curtis Music Institute at the time didn't have a proper campus, so the students would come in and they would be placed with families. No one would take Julius, so he actually had to stay at the local YMCA during his entire run there.
Well, I want to hear a little more of Feminine, which is one of his pieces. We heard it at the open. It is, as we said, repetitive. That's got that minimalist feel, phrases over and over. But then there's a chord change.
Yeah, it slowly builds. He had this idea around organic music and music that progressed over time. So a lot of his work is durational in form. And with this particular piece, we're looking at well over an hour, and it just slowly, gradually changes and changes and changes. You have to actually, to listen to it, you kind of go through a lot of different, like, pain thresholds to come out to the end. But it's a stunning piece. It's one of my favorite pieces of his.
Mm. Well, so there was that beautiful lulling, but also he was a performer, a piano player, recognized for his voice. And here he is with 8 songs for a Mad King by British composer Peter Maxwell Davies, sounding quite mad. Let's listen.
Stolen my
key. He seems perfect for it.
Yes, he's very theatrical, amazing, amazing performer, actor, just stunning all around and with a great voice.
Well, you know, this performance got recognized by Lucas Foss up in Buffalo, New York, which we are reminded in reading about Eastman, was a center of avant-garde activity, and Foss would be important to Eastman. We hear this beautiful flexibility in his voice, but was he mad?
I think that it's twofold, you know. I think he was definitely affected by a lot of things of the time. I will say, for instance, you know, Julius went into Attica after the Attica uprisings.
The prison in upstate New York.
Yes, and the prison in upstate New York, and performed several times. So he was affected and was well aware about these different things that were happening of his time and how that would manifest in regards to his person. Primarily as a black man being in a predominantly white space. And so I think there's a part that is, there's madness, you know, or mad, but then there's also this element of, like, you know, him just kind of like moving through things and wanting to kind of be free of a lot of the traditional standards of what you would think a person would desire.
Well, and there's a thin line sometimes between madness and anger.
Absolutely.
But he would, according to others, sometimes act out. There was a that moment where John Cage was performing something on stage and was apparently incensed because Eastman came up on the stage and undressed someone.
Yeah, for the songbook's performance. He just interpreted it his way, you know. I mean, Julius was extraordinarily out, you know. There's one of the clippings, news clippings I have featured in the recollection actually shows where he says, I want to be the blackest to the fullest, you know, homosexual to the fullest, you know, like really looking for a full self. So he actually interpreted some of the guidelines for that particular performance and actually brought a man on stage and undressed him as a part of the action, and it incensed John Cage. But they later on, you know, kind of made up, I guess, and they performed together again.
Yeah. One of his most controversial series, actually, this is a song that's a part of that. And again, some people find this language offensive. I want to ask you if that was his intent to offend or maybe to reclaim language, a movement we see now. But again, this might be offensive to some. It's called Evil Nigger. Let's listen. So, Tiana, this is part of what he called his Nigger series. And it did cause, it might be causing some discomfort right now, the name of it, but it caused immediate discomfort then. How was this received?
Pretty rough, the first presentation. The Black Student Union completely, you know, tried to stage a protest, which led to the prompt of him actually doing the introduction that precedes Crazy Nigger, where he talks about his, you know, conceptual framework behind the actual piece in dealing with labor, capitalism in this country, and black bodies.
And what I mean by niggers is that thing which is fundamental, that person or thing that attains to a basicness, a fundamentalness, and eschews that thing which is superficial or what can we say, elegant.
You know, it's something that over time has been something that people shy away from because it is one of the works that actually we do have a score for. But at other times you have people like kind of really exploiting and pushing that to the forefront without acknowledging the conceptual framework behind it.
Right. And you say we have a score for. A lot of his music was lost after he died. What happened? Do we know what happened? Homeless, alcohol, drugs, what happened?
I mean, if you take in consideration, I think the downtown scene, I think he got swooped up in a lot of the elements. So I wouldn't say it's entirely one over the other. You know, we have one of the last interviews with him featured in the actual exhibition where he talks about, you know, liking to be homeless and liking to give his money away to homeless people because he actually made money up until his death. And liking to be a free spirit that wandered around. So there's part of it that is part of the system of how people received him and related with him. But the way that he moved with music was just with full force and moved through.
And why is he being resurrected now, or his music being resurrected now by you and others?
For me, I was very interested in the fact of how someone could kind of be obscured or kind of taken off the map. So my whole interest in Julius's legacy is to make sure that his personhood isn't separated from his music, because the music is, you know, being resurrected, played, exploited in all different forms. But I think there has been a severe neglect on his personhood.
Yeah. And what would you say to people who, I mean, minimalist is not everyone's taste, whether it's Philip Glass or, you know, what would you say to someone? You know, what should they listen for if they're trying, but what they're hearing is the same chords over and over again?
I think you just have to, you have to sit through it and quiet yourself and listen to his music. After a while, you can notice the changes. It has a very haptic feel to it, so it actually shifts the way your body feels. So I usually tell people to, like, just give it a shot, play it, and just feel the changes. And so then you can get an understanding of what I think he was working at.
That's Tiana Nakia McLeodin, curator of the new exhibit, Julius Eastman, That Which Is Fundamental. It's at the Kitchen Gallery and Performance Space in New York. We'll also post some of the music we've been talking about at hereandnow.org. Tiana, thank you so much.
Thank you.